So, John chapter 14. In Song of Solomon, chapter 2, we'll read verse 10 and verse 13. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Verse 13, The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Then in John chapter 14, verse 31, notice the last sentence of that verse, Arise, let us go hence. So we want to develop the thought of the message around these words. Rise up, my love, my fair one, come away. And then in John 14:31, Arise, let us go hence. Subject is go with Jesus. Go with Jesus. We want to notice seven things concerning these verses. First of all, we need to note the speaker of the words. Again, in our text, Jesus Christ is doing the speaking. This shows the importance. In Song of Solomon, of course, it's the bridegroom that's doing the speaking, which is allegorical of Christ. John chapter 11, it's Jesus himself doing the speaking. So the fact that Jesus is doing the speaking indicates the importance of what is being said, indicates the significance of what is being said, indicates the prominence of what is being said. Anything he says takes prominence. The one who is speaking, of course, is the Alpha and the Omega and all that's in between. He's the fullness. All fullness dwells in him. We read in Colossians 1 and verse 19. All the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him. We read in Colossians 2 and verse 9. So here we are in a world of emptiness. Here we are in a world of vanity. But there is such a thing as all fullness. Not only is there such a thing, his all fullness, but we are told where to find it. It is in Jesus Christ. Now again, in Colossians 2 and verse 9, it's all the fullness of the Godhead. And you just think about that phrase. You think about it all night, if you want to, it'd be good. All the fullness of the Godhead. Is there anything? Is there anything that we need that is not in all the fullness of the Godhead? Is there anything that will not meet our case, our situation, our circumstances, that is not in all the fullness of the Godhead? And all the fullness of the Godhead is in Christ. That means that all fullness of the Godhead is that's infinite. There's a vastness there, an immensity there that you and I cannot comprehend. We can never reach the depths of that. We can never fully understand all the fullness of the Godhead. And it dwells in Christ. Therefore, Christ must be immutable. Christ, because it must always dwell in Christ. And not only that, he must be big enough to retain all the fullness of the Godhead. Now in John 1 verse 16, this fullness is referred to as his fullness. Again, this is inexhaustible. We read later on in John chapter 1 verse 16, and of all fullness we have received. We have received of his fullness. Yet He is no less full because it's inexhaustible, because it's infinite. We read of in Ephesians 3 and verse 8 of the unsearchable riches of Christ, which again is a depth that we cannot possibly fathom. So we see the one who is doing the speaking is Jesus Christ, the one who has all fullness. Secondly, we see that in John chapter 14, the one doing the speaking again is Jesus Christ. He identifies himself in verse 6 as the way, the truth, and the life. So this is the one that is doing the speaking. Then consider who it is that is being spoken to. In Song of Solomon, chapter 2, the one spoken to is the Shulamite woman. In John chapter 14, verse 31, the one spoken to are the 11. In both instances, the recipients of the words are the saved. So we can view you and I, we can view ourselves as the recipients of these words. Now it's important to notice in Song of Solomon chapter 2 that the speaker is recognized by the hearer. She said, "My beloved spake." My beloved spake. She recognized. She recognized the voice. Why? Because she had heard that voice before. She had heard that voice on many, many occasions. Not only did she recognize the voice, but what he said was very personal. It goes on in verse 10 again, "My beloved spake and said unto me." She knew that he was talking to her. It's not just "my beloved spake." "My beloved spake unto me." She knew the voice, she knew who it was that was speaking, and she knew that he was speaking to her. In other words, she was aware of him. She was aware of him. Now, it's also important to notice that there is a relationship that exists between the speaker and the one spoken to. In verse 10, "my beloved." That speaks of a relationship. "My beloved." We see also the way he addresses her. "My love, my fair one." We see he addresses her the same way in verse 13. So there's a relationship here between the speaker and the one spoken to. Now in John chapter 14 and verse 31, "Arise, let us go hence." There's also a relationship there, and that relationship is revealed throughout John chapter 14. It's revealed really beginning in John chapter 13. There's a relationship between the one who's doing the speaking and the one spoken to. So in order to fully appreciate the words, "Arise, come away," in order to fully appreciate, "Arise, let us go," there must be a close-knit relationship with the speaker, with Jesus Christ. Thirdly, the tone and the mood of the words. "My beloved spake unto me." And he did so in a certain tone, and there was a certain mood about his words. And in the context of John 14, verse 31, "Arise, let us go hence." And you read John 13, you read John 14, you see that these are words of love. Same as it is in Song of Solomon chapter 2. These are words of love. These are words of kindness. These are words of patience. Again, consider who it is that's speaking, Jesus Christ. Consider who he's speaking to, you and I. And when he says, "Arise, let us go," or "Arise, come away," "Arise, let us go," there's a lot of patience in those words. They're also words of friendship. They are words of one who has a delight in the one spoken to. Jesus Christ is the speaker, yet he delights in the one that he is speaking to. "My love, my fair one." John 14, "Arise, let us go." And again, you read John 13 and 14, he has an interest. He has a desire toward those he's spoken to. Now you think about it, for the Lord Jesus Christ to have a delight in us. That's amazing. That's amazing. And he speaks these words, and he has a delight in us. But not only that, he has a desire to be with the one spoken to. Again, in Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse 10, "My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." And come away. We see the same thing in verse 13. "Arise, let us go." This is amazing. It's amazing that the Lord would desire to be with us. The very fact that it does not say in Song of Solomon 2 verse 10 and Song of Solomon 2 verse 13, "Go away," that's amazing. The very fact that he invites us to go with him in John 14, 31 is an amazing thing. So these are words of love. These are words of kindness. These are words of grace. These are words of mercy. That he would speak to us, that he would have a desire to be with us, that he would take delight in us is an amazing thing. And we see, fourthly, these are words of arousal. He uses the word "rise up" in Song of Solomon 2, verse 10. "Arise" in Song of Solomon 2, verse 13. "Arise" again in John 14, verse 31. These are words that are meant to stir. These are words that are meant to awaken us. These are words that are meant to stimulate us and excite us. But it also shows that there's something pressing at hand. There's something of top priority at hand. And every morning we need to hear him say, "Arise! Arise!" And we need to realize that something pressing is at hand. Something of top priority is at hand. And that's true every single day. Every single day there's something pressing. And it's usually not what you and I think is pressing. And there's something that takes top priority. And what it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's saying, "Come, arise and come. Arise and come away with me. Arise, let us go." So again, to be awakened every morning by the voice of our Lord and hear him speaking to us and recognizing that voice. So we see these are words of arousal. Fifthly, they are words of very, very gracious invitation. "Come away." Song of Solomon chapter 2. "Come away." John 14 verse 31. "Let us go." This is an invite to live life with him. I believe we receive that invitation. We receive that invite every day. Every day we have an invite to live life with him. Again, hear the Lord say to each one of us personally, "Come away. Come away." How good it would do us to go away with Jesus. Hear him say, "Let us go. Let us go." To hear those words every single morning, "Arise, come, let's go away." That's what he's saying here. This is an invite to follow him. Every day we have an invite to live life with him. Every day we have an invite to follow him. This is a call to draw close to him. Again, in Song of Solomon 2 and verse 10, "Rise up, come, come." That's an invite to draw near. "Come away," or "Rise up, come away with me." Every day we have an invite to draw close to him. I believe we need to start our day with these words, hearing these words, Arise. Come. Come away. Arise. Let us go. Let us go together into the day. In these words, there's a call to leave something. Come. You have to leave something. Let us go. You have to leave something. So there's a call to leave. And what's He calling us to leave? He's calling us to leave those things that don't matter. He's calling us to leave the trivial. He says, come to Me. Let us go. Again, leave that which is trivial. It's a call for Him to have the preeminence. Come away. Arise, let us go. Every day, we have the invite to live our life with Him. We plan our days. We think, we know to some extent what is going to happen this day, or at least we have expectations of what is going to happen, but we never know. But we have an invite to live life with Him every single day. How foolish to turn such down. We have an invite to draw close to Him. This involves a commitment to Him. Let us go. Come away. There's a commitment to Him. Again, it's a call to leave something. Every day the Lord's calling us to leave many things. We can be in the midst of our day and we can be finding ourselves, we're starting to get entangled in something. And if you listen, I believe you will hear the Lord say, come away. Come away. You don't need to be entangled in that. Come away. And I believe you'll hear Him say, let us go. You don't need to be messing with that. You don't need to get entangled in that. It can be a thought. It can be anything. Let us go. And the best thing to do is leave it. But every day we have received these calls from the Lord. Again, it's a call for Him to have the preeminence. When He says, come away, He's saying, leave all this other stuff. Leave all these other things. Come away with Me. I have the preeminence. Again, I believe that these are words of gracious invitation. And words that as children of God we hear every day if we listen. Sixthly, these are words of amazing opportunity. When we consider who it is that speaks these words, when we consider to whom they are being spoken, when we consider the subject matter of these words, to live life with Him, and when we consider the substance of these words, come away, let us go. What an amazing opportunity these words present. Again, every day, we need to hear the Lord saying to us, we need to hear it several times, arise, come. Arise, come away. And we need to hear Him say, let us go. It's not go away. It's let us go. We know not what a day may bring forth, but every single day, as a child of God, I have the wonderful opportunity, the gracious opportunity to come and go with Him. To come and go with Him. Song of Solomon 2, again, come away. John 14, go. Let us go. Every day, no matter what the circumstances of the day are, no matter what the situations are, no matter how I feel, I have the opportunity to come and go with Him. And it's much better to come and go with Him than to come and go with anyone else. We awaken every day in a world where God is not honored. Every day we wake up, we prepare to go out into a world where God is not honored. We prepare to go out into a world where God is not sought. God is not relied upon. And we go forth in such a world every day. But if we listen, we can hear Him say, "Arise, come." In other words, you don't have to go out in that world alone. And if you listen, you'll hear Him say, "Let us go." What a way to face the day. What a way to begin the day, to hearing the Lord say, "Let us go. Let us go into the world. You don't know what's out there, but I do. Let us go. Let us go. Come away with me. Let us go." This is our opportunity every single day. We live our lives in a world that is dark. We live our lives in a world of filled with trouble. A world of testing. A world of evil. A world of wickedness. A world of trials. A world of struggles. A world of innumerable needs. But I have an invitation every day. And He reiterates that invitation several times during the day. To go forth into such a world with Him. With Him. If you go by yourself, that's your own fault. Because every single day, you have this invite, if you're a child of God, to go with Him. And that means if you do not go with Him, that you have rejected the invitation. You've begun the day in sin. You've begun the day in sin. We need to go with Him. We are in a world filled with change. We live in a world where there's constant upheaval, constant chaos. But I have an invite that tells me I can live above it all because I can go out into the world with Him. I don't have to get caught up in the chaos. You don't have to get caught up in the chaos. You don't have to get caught up in the filth. We can go with Him. And when we go with Him, we live above all the upheaval and all the chaos. Every day we are faced with the pullings and the allurements of sinful flesh. Satan pulls at us. The world pulls at us. And every day we go into the world, you know that you're going to feel the pullings of the flesh. There's going to be the pullings of Satan and the world. But listen and hear Him say, "Come. Come away. Let us go. Let us go hence." We get up in the morning and we're faced with temptations. You're faced with the reasonings of carnality. You're faced with danger everywhere. But again, hear Him say, "Arise and come. Let us go hence." As soon as He speaks those words to you and I, we have to do something with them. We either accept them or we reject them. One or the other. But every day, we have this invite. The fact, now you think about it. Say you get up Monday, the Lord speaks, "Arise." And you may say, "Well, you know, I've never heard the Lord say that." Well, then you've got a bigger problem. Because again, you ought to have a relationship with the Lord. Arise, come away. Let us go hence. He says that on Monday. He says it several times through the day. And we go our own way. He repeats it again Tuesday. And again Wednesday. And again Thursday. And again Friday. That's patience. That's patience. That's the long-suffering of God. There are people who have rejected that voice, and I'm talking about God's people who have rejected that voice for years, and yet every day He comes, and He speaks those same words. That's long-suffering. That's grace. That's mercy. These are wonderful words. They provide us with a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. Every day, out there in the world, there are cares, there are burdens, there are difficulties, there are problems, there are sorrows, there are heartaches, pressures. There's that which overwhelms you and I. But yet listen and hear Him say, come away. Come away. Let us go. Let us go hence. Every day there are storms that we may have to go through. May not have to, but we may have to. Every day there are Goliaths out there that we may have to face. You may get through a day without facing a Goliath, but you may have to face one. You may have to face several. Every day there are battles and struggles that we're going to have to engage in. And every single day there are obstacles that we are faced with, the biggest one being ourselves. There are rocky roads. There are deserts. There are depths. There are traps. There are empty places. There are furnaces that we might be thrown into on any given day. But the one who knows what we are going to have to face says to us, come. Says to us, let us go. Yes, there are Goliaths out there. Let us go. Yes, there are empty places out there. But the one in whom all fullness dwells says, let us go. He doesn't just say go, but let us go. One who is above all, over all, and beyond all invites us to live life with Him every single day. The one who is greater light than any darkness invites us to live our life every single day with Him. The one who has greater strength than any weakness that you and I have invites us to live our life with Him. The one who provides rest greater than any weariness. You can't get so weary that He can't give rest. Invites us to live life with Him. The one who has more joy to bestow than any sorrow, greater than any sorrow. More encouragement greater than any discouragement, and on we could go. He has victory greater than any defeat. And He invites you and I to live life with Him. What an amazing opportunity we have. What a wonderful opportunity. Seventhly, obedience to these words will bring wonderful results. Will result in a wonderful life. To look back on your life and to be able to say, I have lived life with Him. There is no greater life. There is no greater way to live. But what a waste to have such a wonderful opportunity and to live life on our own. To go out every day and face the Goliaths and the battles and the struggles on our own. in our own strength. What a waste. What a terrible waste of a life. We have an opportunity to live life with Him. Now to arise and come away with Him, and to go with Him will lead to a greater and more meaningful communion with Him. You hear His voice at the beginning of the day, and it says, arise. Come. Arise, let us go. Let us go into the day. And as you go, if you obey that, I mean, it's wonderful enough that He spoke those words to begin with. But as you go through the day with Him, communion gets greater and greater. The relationship grows deeper and deeper. And you experience Him. And He becomes very relevant to your life. How sad it is for a person to have a head knowledge of the Scriptures. How terribly frustrating for that not to apply to your life. I mean, in a sense, a lost person's better off in that regards. Now, I'm not saying they're better off in eternity, but they can be happy in ignorance. But for a child of God to know these things in their head, it becomes very frustrating when you can't carry it over into your life. And I think that explains a lot of the struggles that people have, God's people. It also, if we go with Him, we go with Him through the day, our enjoyment of Him becomes greater and greater. If we don't enjoy the Lord, if we don't enjoy the Lord's company, we've got serious problems. Something is seriously wrong with us. When you enjoy the company of the world more than the company of the Lord, something's terribly wrong. But as you arise and go with Him, you spend the day with Him, you enjoy Him. And the day, no matter what you face, it was a good day. I mean, how can it be a bad day if you live with Him? Oh, I'm having a horrible day. Can't be if you're living it with Him. Can't be. There are no bad days living with Him. Even if it appears to be bad, it's not. As we go through the day with Him, that's where wisdom is found. Begin to think like Him. Begin to act like Him. This is where wisdom is found. This is where understanding is helped by going with Him. Going with Him fixes our heart upon Him. It also keeps our heart from becoming bitter. You can't become bitter living with Him. You can't become hard living with Him. You can't be impenitent living with Him. It's not possible. If those things happen, it's because we've ceased to live with Him. We've ceased to go with Him. Going with Him throughout the day, priorities are kept right. It's pretty hard to get your priorities messed up when He's right beside you. And your eyes are upon Him. And you're talking with Him. And He's talking to you. That keeps priorities straight. Go with Him. And priorities will not get out of whack. This is where spiritual desires are revived. This is where we experience revival. Going with Him. You won't be revived hearing Him say, come. Come away. Arise, let us go hence, and then you go the opposite direction. Revival is going in the direction of Him. This is where divine enablement is found. We find tremendous strength, tremendous courage, tremendous assurance, fulfillment, going with Him. I mean, you go with Him, and at the end of the day, guess what? You're pretty content because there's fulfillment that has taken place. This is where a table of feasting is found also. It would do us good to pick up our Bibles and to hear Him say, "Arise, come away. Come away and let's read it together." Can you think of anybody better to read the Word with than the Lord? Go with Him when you open God's Word. And He explains it to you as you read. So there's a table of feasting when we go with Him. But also to arise and come away and to go with Him is where we witness His miraculous power. We live in the very realm of His miraculous power when we go with Him. In Mark chapter 1, in verse 38, Jesus said, "Let us go into the next towns." Let us go into the next towns. And then you read, as they arrived in those towns, verse 39, He preached in their synagogues, and they heard Him. He cast out devils, and they saw it. You go on in verse 40, and there came a leper, and He healed that leper. Jesus said, "Arise, let us go into the next towns." And they went with Him, and they witnessed the miraculous. That will strengthen faith. When you witness the miraculous, that strengthens faith. And the way to witness the miraculous is to go with Him. To go with Him. In Mark chapter 4, He said to the apostles in verse 35, "Let us pass over unto the other side." Let us. That is, come with Me. Let us pass over unto the other side. And in obeying such, they were caught in a fierce storm. So when you obey those words, that does not exempt you from storm. That does not exempt you from trial. That does not exempt you from hardship. So there they are. They are in the midst of a storm. But if I'm going to go through a storm, I can't think of anybody better to go through it with than the Lord. And He says, "Arise, let us go. Let us pass over to the other side." And it was in that storm that they witnessed that He is the master of the wind, that He is the controller of the storm. They witnessed that by going with Him. You'll witness the same thing by going with Him. I've heard people say, "I've never seen anything amazing." Well, it's because you walk by yourself and you walk with blinders on. You go with Him and you'll see the miraculous every single day. And you will attribute the happenings of your life to the power of the Lord. I mean, I need something and I go into a store and it's on sale. The Lord did that. You can laugh if you want to. The Lord did that. It's a miraculous thing. And we see the miraculous every single day when we go with Him. Arise and come away. Arise, let us go. Obedience to this leads to a much higher plane of living. You'll live above the world going with Him. You will live above most of God's people. They will not understand. You will have persecution even from God's people. But you go with Him. You go with Him. That will spare you. If I go with Him, that'll spare me a life of emptiness, a life of defeat, a life of bondage. If I go with Him. I go out on my own. It's very likely that I'm going to wander. I'm going to go home empty. You know, if you go without Him, you can even go where there's fullness and still go away empty. We are invited to live life with Him, to live life together with Him. May I say that their husbands and wives ought to live lives together, and they ought to live their lives together with Him. There's no better life. Live life with Him. It'll fill you with gratitude. It'll fill you with gratitude. And when you hear Him the next day giving the same invite, oh, how that ought to humble us. It'll fill us with praise. To go with Him will fill you with passion. You'll find yourself worshiping Him along the way. You won't just worship on Wednesdays and Sundays. You'll worship every single day. You'll just stop and worship. Going with Him. What an opportunity. What an opportunity we have. We need to hear those words. Arise. Come away. Again, the next time you find yourself in an undesirable position or in a dangerous situation, I'm speaking spiritually, hear Him say, come away. You can be with people, and if you listen, He'll say, come on, let's go away. Come away. You don't need to be with these people. Come. Come away. Let us go. It's never wrong to obey those words. It's never unadvisable to obey those words. It's always wise to obey those words. Arise, come away. Arise, let us go. What an opportunity we have. Has God's people. We may face tonight what the world considers a tragedy. We may face tomorrow what the world considers a tragedy, but there's no one better to go with than the Lord. Go with Him. You can't lose. If you just go with Him, you can't lose. He'll spare you many foolish decisions, spare you many a trouble, many a heartache. Just go with Him. And that is my opportunity, that is your opportunity as a child of God every single day. I can live life with Him. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us in singing.